The events of the... Apologies for that. It's a good day, Good Friday. Welcome to church this Easter. A special welcome to you if you're visiting. We would love to know that you're here and welcome you in. Today we've got the kind of main lights down just because this is a bit of a different kind of service for us. Every year on Good Friday, we'd like to take the opportunity to especially remember and reflect on the death of Jesus and all that that means for us and for our world. And so it's a bit more of a reflective time this morning. We hope you feel very welcomed with us. There are if you have young ones with you, we do have some activity clipboards that are out the back that you please feel free to go and grab some of those. And please feel very relaxed about any noise your little ones will make. We just love having them here and having you here. So thank you for being with us. The way this morning's going to work is it'll be a cycle of readings and songs and prayers, all focusing in on the Bible's account of Jesus' crucifixion from Luke's Gospel. With this term, our church here at Trinity Church, we've been reading together through Luke's Gospel. And so we'll be hearing from Luke's Gospel in this cycle of readings and prayers. After every prayer, there's going to be a time of short silence and reflection. There'll be a short time just to, in the quietness of your own heart, reflect on the things you've been hearing and perhaps even to spend that time in prayer yourself. The morning is going to go unannounced. So for the songs, please just stand when the music begins. And those who are reading and praying, please just come up when it's your time and start that unannounced. Please feel free when we're singing to stand. If you prefer to stay seated for any reason, that's totally fine as well. So feel free to stay sitting. But once the music starts, feel free to stand if you'd like to and to sing along with these songs. We are going to start, though, with a wonderful, wonderful song pointing us to the great love of that Easter proclaims to us. Easter proclaims a God who is love. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as a flood, when the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. So I invite you, if you are able and would like to stand, and we'll sing together.
Be to your praise. You are the sanctified me. Jesus, you have set me free. You alone shall be my glory. Nothing in the world I see. You have cleansed and sanctified me. Jesus, you have set me free.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Well, 700 years before Jesus, the prophet Isaiah looked ahead to a time when God would come and act once for all to heal his world. Isaiah's world was just as dark as ours, just as full of pride and selfishness and hurt, but he looked into the future with hope. He saw one who would be the mighty arm of the Lord, God with his sleeves rolled up to achieve his great victory, God's King and Messiah. But what would this coming King look like? He wouldn't be what anyone would expect. Instead of being a conquering warrior, he would be despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. He would be disgraced, like one from whom people hide their faces. And yet, it would be through this one that God would achieve his great and final victory over sin and death, over the evil that has so corrupted his good world. It would be through this one that God would make it possible for sinners and sufferers like you and me to receive complete forgiveness and new life because of his wonderful substitution. He took up our pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. By his wounds we are healed. 700 years after Isaiah wrote those words, Jesus was born. Jesus proclaimed good news to the poor and freedom for the prisoners. He came as the friend of sinners. He came as the powerful Son of God who could still the storm and cast out evil and raise the dead with a word. He came as God's Messiah, his anointed glorious King, the one who gives true lasting treasure, who invites us into his lavish banquet feast, who works for us so we might share in his eternal life. Those are things that as a church we've been looking at this term, but as amazing as all those things are, as amazing as Jesus' life and teaching are, Luke's biography of Jesus climaxes with his final days and hours as he finishes the great mission he came to accomplish. And those final hours are what we're going to be hearing today, starting with Jesus' Last Supper and his disciples in Luke 22. Thanks, Jess.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny three times that you know me." Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you, this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," he replied.
Let's pray. A loving Heavenly Father, we come to you on this Good Friday, filled with wonder and praise at your plan of salvation to redeem the world. What you have ordained to save us is truly awesome. Every detail was determined. Every preparation was made so that people might be saved from sin and death through the sacrifice on Good Friday of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we read that nothing could thwart that plan. Not the religious leaders who opposed your Son and tried to get rid of him. Not Judas who betrayed him for a quick buck. Not even Satan and the hordes of hell could stop your kingdom of grace from coming into the world through Jesus. Thank you for loving us so much. And Father, thank you for the wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper instituted by Christ himself in the hours before he went to the cross. And Father, you gave us this so that we might always remember what you've done for us on the cross, where Jesus' blood was shed and body broken for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. And Father, all this was made possible because you sent Christ into the world not to be served, but to serve and to give his life so that we might live. Father, work in us that same attitude of service so that we might be useful in your kingdom and so that Christ is honoured in our lives of service to him and to each other. And Father, help us to stand with Jesus no matter what opposition or hardship or tests we face. Strengthen us again with the knowledge that our faith is and will be sustained by the prayers of our Lord Jesus himself. And Father, thank you for the reminder that the glory of this world and our lives is fading, but a better and lasting glory is coming with Christ in the new heaven and earth, when we will eat and drink at Jesus' table and rule with him on thrones. Fill us with that joyful hope, we pray in the glorious name of the crucified and risen Lord Jesus. Amen.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." Then, seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hit you?" And they said many other insulting things to him.
Father, many of us might be influenced by those paintings of Jesus in pure white robes, kneeling next to a rock, face serene as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. But we know, Father, from your word that that vision is far from the truth. We ask you today to fill our hearts and minds with the true picture of your Son praying in agony of heart and spirit, face streaked with tears, maybe even covered in the dust of the earth as he prostrated himself before you. Drops of blood sweat falling to the ground, seeking for you to take from him the terrible suffering he was to endure, yet willing to accept your will. And all the time he knew his closest friends had fallen asleep, not able to obey his instructions to pray, lest they fell into temptation. And then when he was arrested, although they tried to defend him, they ran away in fear, Peter denying he even knew Jesus. Who of us here today does not identify with the disciples' lack of watchfulness, false bravado and fear, especially Peter's denial? How many times have we failed to speak the name of Jesus into an unbeliever's ear? How many times have we mourned our own lack of commitment and love for you? We are weak, incapable of living lives acceptable to you because of our sinful nature. And may we not be one of those who betrayed, despised, and mocked him, but seek his forgiveness in repentance. Thank you that Jesus was willing to pay the full price for our sin, past, present, and future, by his sacrificial love, by giving his life for us, that we might be forgiven, restored, and adopted into your family by faith in him. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Wash away all our iniquity and cleanse us from our sin. Thank you for giving up your Son, Jesus, for each one of us. Amen.
To see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful man, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross. Became sin for us. Now the ground beneath quakes as a shaker bows his head. Hurt and torn in two, dead or raised to life, finished the victory cry. It's the blood of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame for the wrath we stand forgiven at the cross. Lord, to see my name risen in the wounds, all for your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. Run through the selfless love. Is the path of the cross. Son of God, slain for us. What a
At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Messiah," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You say that I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payments of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
Heavenly Father, in your mercy and grace, you sent your one and only Son into the world, a world full of sin and corruption. Lord, how great is your love for us, a love we have continued to hide away from. Lord, you are so patient with us. We come together here today under your Son, our beautiful and wonderful Saviour, to praise and worship you. We remember those final hours when Jesus was brought before the powers and the principalities. But despite your dominion and power over all, you allowed Pilate to surrender Jesus to their will. Lord, we pray you soften our hearts, open our eyes and unstop our ears, that we may boldly declare, "Jesus, you are Messiah, you are King. Christ Jesus, you are our Lord and Saviour. Hallelujah." Thank you, Lord, that we may know your Son, that you healed and saved us through our Lord Jesus. We were so immersed in our sin, only through Jesus coming into the world could we know you. But even then, we did not see. In the end, your good and faithful Son, obedient to his Father, Lord of all creation, God called love, submitted to the world, to the chief priests, the teachers of the law, to Pilate and Herod, to your very countrymen, thereby becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Praise Lord Jesus, praise Lord Jesus, praise Lord Jesus. You bowed down and washed our feet, humbly serving us, the unworthy, first Israel and then to us, Gentiles too. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us too. Israel shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him," and the rest of us brought the cross. How deep we have descended. Not so deep for you, though, Lord. Your love overflows from the eternal spring, filling the depths, washing away the sin of the world. Lord, teach us how to stand strong in the face of injustice and persecution. Give us the faith and strength to face the courts of the world, bearing our cross and following our Lord Jesus. Grace us with the love to stand together, arm in arm, sharing your Son, Jesus Christ, with all the lost and sinners of the world. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Testify with us that we declare far and wide that Jesus is Lord, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Wounds have paid my ransom.
should I gain from this reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things.
The rulers, the soldiers, one of the criminals hanging next to him, they all poured scorn on Jesus. They sneered at him. They mockingly called him to save himself. The fact that he didn't do that, that he didn't come down from the cross, was for them proof that he wasn't God's king, God's saving king. How wrong they were. How tragically, foolishly blind they were. Because for those with eyes to see, this moment of deep shame is actually the moment of God's great triumph. The beautiful moment that all history had been longing for. Here is Isaiah's suffering servant, the mighty arm of God at work to save his people by dying for them in their place. One of the criminals saw this. He knew that Jesus was not going to a shameful end, but was in fact coming into his kingdom. He knew that Jesus had never done anything wrong. And this criminal knew that it was precisely because Jesus didn't save himself, that he could save him. This criminal had done wrong. He did deserve God's judgment. But the innocent Jesus was pierced for his transgressions. And so this criminal could entrust himself to Jesus. And he heard Jesus' own promise that through death he would be with him forever. This is wonderful news for you. Are you weighed down by suffering or pain? Are you crushed by guilt? Are you pierced by the evil that you have done, or by the evil that has been done to you? On that good Friday, he took up our pain and he bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so we sing, hallelujah. What a Savior. please sit down. Please take a seat. Well, friends, thank you for coming today to this special Good Friday service. Of course, Good Friday is not the end of the story. Sunday is coming. And on Sunday, we will celebrate the wonderful news that that suffering servant who died in our place was risen again as the Lord of a new world. We hope that you can make it there on Sunday for us. It'll be a different kind of service again. It'll be all ages interactive service, but please do come then. Before today, though, what we like to do on Good Friday also is give people an opportunity, if you would like, after the service ends in a moment, if you would like to stay in here for a time of quiet reflection, if that's something that would be meaningful for you, to just have some quiet reflection with quiet music playing in the background, that'll be an opportunity to happen here. If you would like to head out straight away, if you could just do that quietly and respectful of those who would like to have a time of quiet in the auditorium here. There are some hot cross buns and tea and coffee for morning tea out there, so please do stay around for a chat. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again on Sunday. There is a combined services, a sunrise service as well at 6:30 at Kent Reserve. Don't forget that. A great chance to meet with God's people from our region to see the sunrise on Easter Sunday. And then 10 a.m. again here for our Easter celebration. But God bless. Please do stay in here if you'd like. Otherwise, let's quietly make our way out for some morning tea together. See you on Sunday.
True.